Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to our Taylor Tabernacle family and friends on Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming here from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. And it is a beautiful Sunday morning. It is our Women's Month. Yes. So tune in every Sunday morning. We have a special treat. Our women of Taylor Tabernacle will be speaking to you, giving the word. And we also have a guest preacher. At this time, we're going to have our prayer by our deaconess, Helena White. Amen.
Amen. My Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, as humbly as we know how, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us, God, this day that we have not seen, God. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, God, clothed in our right minds, God, able to put on our clothes this morning, able, God, to make it out to your house, God. God, we just thank you this morning, God. We give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, God, because you are worthy of it, God. And God, so we just thank you today, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for this Women's Month, God. God, we thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would be in the midst each and every Sunday today. But God, we ask today, God, that you be present with us today, God. God, that you do what you want to do, God. God, that you bless who you want to bless, God. God, that you deliver who you want to deliver today, God. God, that you heal who you want to heal today, God. God, that you touch who you want to touch today, God. God, I just thank you for this day, God. God, I ask that you would bless the service, bless the speaker of the hour, God. God, give us a word from on high, God, a word to live by, God, a word to grow on, God. God, we thank you, Lord, and today, God, we say yes to your way, God. God, we say yes to your will, God. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you are doing, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done, God. God, we ask, Lord, that you would help us, oh God, press to that mark, oh God, of a higher calling, Lord, which is in Christ, God. God, we thank you, Lord. God, we ask, Lord, that you would touch each and every one today, God. Each and every one that comes through these doors today, God. God, we ask, Lord, that you will open up our eyes and our ears, oh God, to hear what saith the Lord today, God. God, we are so grateful and we're so thankful, God. God, for all you've done for us, oh God. All that you are doing for us, God. God, we thank you for every sacrifice that you've made for us, oh God. God, it was no goodness of our own, God. Lord, but it was you, God. And so we just thank you, God. We thank you, God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would send your peace today, God. Your peace that passes all understanding, God. And God, we ask, Lord, that you would continue, God, to keep us, oh God, like only you can, oh God. God, you promised to keep us, oh God. God, and we're just counting on you today to do what you said you would do, God. So, God, we ask, Lord, that as we move forward in this service, God, that you would just be with us, oh, God. Send us a good word today, oh, God. And, God, move, oh, God, like you've never moved before, Lord. Breathe on us again today, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we will never, God, forget to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, God, because you are worthy of it, Lord. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We're going to have our scripture reading. It's Ephesians 3 through 8. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. If everyone have their Bible, I'll give you a second. Okay. Ephesians 1, 3 through 8. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Verse 6, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showed his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his words. And on that, we will have our deaconess, Barbara Williams, come with the word.
We're going to add an addendum. We're going to ask you to take your seat. Praise and worship is going to come up before we come and hear what the Lord has to say today. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
After you. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name this morning. More and more. Yes. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name this morning. Amen. 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 That was right on time because I am chasing after him this morning. Amen. Bless his name. Bless his name. Hey, if I can ask you to stand to your feet as we read God's holy word, we're going to visit the well, the woman at the well of Samaria. John chapter 4, we're going to read 4 through 20, but we're not going to touch all those verses, so don't shake your head, don't hang your head. We're just going to kind of skip around a little bit this morning and visit Jesus and the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 20. Say amen if you have it. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water, will be thirsty again. But whosoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," he replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Father, once again, we come to you, Lord, to glean from your precious word, Lord. We hear your voice, Father. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Pour me out, Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit that you may use me as you will. Lord, that some chain will be broken, some bond lifted, Lord, some heart lifted, some soul saved, Lord. Help us now to open our hearts, Lord, to hear your precious word in the time you've given us to be with you. We glorify you, Lord. We lift you up and we praise your holy and your precious name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated all over the house. This morning we're going to go to the well. I want to give you a little bit of background because the first part you heard, Jews and Samaritans don't deal with one another. Jews hated Samaritans because they were of a mixed race. They were Jews and they mixed themselves with foreigners. So that means they were not pure Jews. And I make this very simplified for our time together this morning. So I'm giving you a Bible study assignment. If you're really interested, you can research why they hated one another. Amen. Amen. To avoid Samaria, Jews would go a long route around. So they didn't have to go through Samaria. That's how much and how deep and how bad the hatred was for them. And as I began to prepare this word, the first verse struck me. That's why I started at 4. But he needed, underline, bold letters, he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus had an appointment with the woman at the well. Whether she knew it or not, but the Father knew, Jesus had an appointment with the woman at the well. The definition of need is required, something that is essential and very important. It's not just something you want, but you got to have it. And Jesus needed to see this woman, and this woman needed to see Jesus. Jacob's well is important because the well, water at that time is the essential element. Cities were built or destroyed based on water supplies. And it was the leveling ground in society because everybody had to go to the well. Rich, poor, Gentile, it didn't matter. Everybody in that town needed water. What's interesting about water when we think about the Father and the scripture, water was at the beginning. Verse 2 of Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The deep is the water. Water is present when we begin our walk and our journey as believers. We must be baptized in water, submerged in water. Water is important to our Father. What's interesting is the eternal well sat next to Jacob's well. Both life givers. Amen. The next thing that I pulled out of it is Jesus will meet you where you are. It didn't matter. Jesus met this woman at the well because she was an outcast from society. We know that because she went to the well at high noon. They were in a desert time. You didn't go out in the sun at 12 noon to go drag gallons of water anywhere. At least I wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm lazy. You can tell me. But that's all right. But the witness is that God decided to meet this woman at the well. If we look at for a witness, Acts 9 and 7, Jesus, the Lord met Saul on the road to Damascus, and a voice from heaven converted him. He didn't need to be present to convert Paul, but he needed to see this woman. This woman came to draw water, and he said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" What Jesus is telling her is, "I thirst." This is the first time we hear him say, "I thirst." The question I want you to write down, and we're going to answer it as we travel through this morning. What does God thirst for? Got you thinking, didn't I? All righty. Good, good, good. The Samaritan woman wondered, what's going on? What's happening here? Why? You're a Jew. I'm a and a woman. Why would you ask me for this? And women, in case you didn't know, we were second-class citizens even then. How could you? She was in a physical place in her mind. There are 3 points I do want to cover. Let me back up because I did kind of skip over. 3 points I want to touch on this morning: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. She was in a physical place. This was a woman who was used to using her body to try to quench whatever it was she desired. She had 5 husbands. That lets us know she's looking for something, whether it's love, whether it's attention, whether it's affection. We don't know exactly what it is, but there's something she has a need for this morning that she couldn't quench with 5 husbands, and really 6, because he said, you've had 5 and this one is not yours. I'm sorry, Sister Cassandra, can I have my water? I apologize. All of a sudden I've gotten dry. But she was wondering, maybe in the physical, she was mad. Okay, at the well, I'm dry. At the well. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. At the well, I'm dry. Yes, indeed. Amen. You all know the pressure you're under when the pastor is sitting on the front row. I just want to put that out there. I was looking for Reverend Radcliffe. That's who I was looking for on the front row. But he decided to hide in the back, and Pastor is sitting on the front row. Okay, so now I'm dry at the well. Amen. 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 But the woman was into a physical aspect of it. She was wondering, well, maybe he's trying to push up on me, get closer to me, to use our present day term. Maybe he wanted to, you know, get to know me. Jesus said to her, woman, if you knew the gift that you had been given today, if you know who sat here with you today, you would have asked him to give you living water. He would have quenched, I can give you water that will quench that thirst, that you so desire that you can't fulfill in the physical sense. The Samaritan woman had to move from the physical to the mental. She had to change her mindset. She had to renew her mind. How many of us today are trapped in a mindset? I'm sure when she started out her childhood, her teenage years, she didn't intend to have 5, 6 husbands. She didn't intend to be the outcast of society. She had friends and family. She had all of these things. This woman had pushed herself away from society. Her mindset had changed somewhere in her youth. And what she was looking for, she couldn't find. She couldn't find it in a physical sense because she kept going from man to man to man to man. She needed to change her mind, and God was here to help her along that journey. Amen. Jesus had to get her thinking in a different way. He had to get her to a place where she could move past the hatred, move past the physical, and move across into the spiritual. In 2,000 years, as I was saying, ladies, you can see things haven't changed a whole lot for us. And I'm talking because it's Women's Month. Yeah, we can buy a house and a car now. Yep, we can do all those things. But we are still looked at in society in almost the same manner. We're expected to carry ourselves a certain way. And if you don't, then we have a gossip every 2 feet to talk about you. And that was the life this woman was living. And we know this to be true again because at high noon, she decided to go to a well that was somewhere around 1/2 mile from the city to get water. She didn't want to be around other people. She had separated herself from society because society had shunned her. Amen. We've all done some things in life that we're not proud of. Every woman, every man in this room. And you know, there's a joke on the internet, probably most of you have seen it. It says, it's for us old gals, old people. That I'm glad I did all my dirt before Facebook and internet, because now there's no evidence of anything I did. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes. Yes, indeed. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine what this journey was for this woman every day? A half a mile in the desert heat to draw the water. Because you needed this water to bathe, to cook, to clean. Everything you did with water, you had to drag back from this well. God told her, everyone who drinks this water is going to thirst again. But I can give you water that you will never thirst again. She's beginning to... Well, maybe he's something a little bit different, but she's still on the physical side. Let me think about this for a little while. She had to accept new ideas. She had to move from the physical to the spiritual, and it's a difficult journey for most of us. We like the familiar and what we know and what we're used to, even though it's not always best for us. You know she was tired of her circumstance, because I know I don't want to walk a half a mile for some water. She wanted something new. Who wouldn't in those circumstances? Was she willing to take the journey? Jesus was beginning to dig the well. Now in olden days, and because I come from older parents and southern roots, and some of us do, when you dig a well, you go through roots and rocks and dirt and stones. You have to clear all of that to get to the well. In each of these interactions with Jesus, he's digging the well. He's moving the stones. He's getting her to see a different way. He's making her think about things in a different way. She was struggling with the concept. She's still thinking about physical water. Give me this water so I don't have to come and deal with this heat and these crazy people and keep me anything. Just what do I have to do? How many of us want to go from A to B and A to C and we don't want to stop at D? We want it all right now. I don't want to work for it. Just give it to me. I work with people every day who want a paycheck and don't want to work. Oh, I didn't say that. Y'all didn't hear me say that. She wanted new ideas with an old mindset. She wanted change. She wanted to receive a new life. She wanted new blessings. But you can't get it in an old vessel. You can't dig a well and leave the stones and rocks in place. The water is dirty. It's impure. It's unclean. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. She wanted to continue to live the way she did and skip over the renewing of her mind. She just wanted the living. She just wanted this living water so I don't have to deal with the rest of it again. But God called her out on it. Jesus called her out on it. He said, go call your husband back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said, you are right in what you said. You have no husband. In fact, you have five husbands. And the man you have now is not your husband. When you dig a well, you have to clear the path. You have to leave old things behind. You have to clear them out of the way. The well Jesus was digging was deep. He was digging to her soul. Sir, I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews say we have to go to Jerusalem. God called her out and exposed her sin, and she was trying to give him the okey-doke. What's that move in basketball where you're guarding somebody and then you try to spin around? Is that what it's called? I don't know. Okay. Not only am I lazy, I know nothing about sports. Amen, amen. But she tried to give Jesus the okey-doke. Amen. She tried to change the conversation. Well, I can see that you know some things, but she tried to put their religious differences in the path of him. Well, I worship this way and you worship that way. How can we be compatible? But he'd already, we'll see later, he tells her, we are here to worship God as Catholics or Jews or Hindu or whatever. I make no dispersions to any faith. But we're here to worship God in a pure and true sense. Religion is man-made. Worship and serving and praising God is a pure act. We can see that, you know, Baptists do it this way and holiness do it that way. And okay, but in the end, God is looking at the purity of the worship. Amen. We get caught up in the trappings of the world in man-made religions. I want to cross over into the spiritual realm. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. We will worship him in spirit and in truth. Our salvation is by the grace of God. The root of the tree is rooted in the Jewish vine. And everything and everyone else is grafted into that vine. All the nuances don't matter. In the end, we are all Samaritans. We are all impure. We are not Jewish. By his grace, he's decided to graft us into the pure vine. The time is coming, and now is, he said to her, that we're going to be true worshipers. We're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worship Christ is seeking. He's not seeking the patty cake worship. He's not seeking come on Sunday and I don't see you again till next Sunday. He's not seeking you to clap your hands in church and shout and spin around and fall out and get down and get back up and go home. Whew, I'm tired, and never talk to him again until next Sunday. That's not what he's looking for. Praise and worship is good. Don't. Say I said it is. It's wonderful. It helps you shake off the dirt of the week. It helps you get your mind prepared. But worship is a personal experience with God. Worship comes when you get past praise. Worship is deep down inside when you know what he's done for you. I don't mean because he helped you pay your light bill. I don't mean because he helped you buy that new car. I mean when you think about how good he's been. When you think about he sent his only son to die on a cross for you. That's when you enter into worship. Jesus met this woman, this nameless woman at the well, battered, mentally abused, worn out. Bruised by her circumstance. Like I said, I'm sure she didn't start out planning this life. But you can't worship God when you carry baggage. Jesus was digging a well, and he's digging one right now in your soul. You've got to clear those rocks away. You've got to leave that dirt behind. You've got to change your mindset. You can't worship him doing the same old thing. You can't worship him anyway. You can't worship him in this house and leave and live anyway on the outside world. For two reasons. God is watching, which is most important of all. But your worshipers, the outside world is watching. Well, how can she jump, spin around and claim she loves Jesus and come outside and curse you out? And think God is happy with that. You can't. That's not who the Father is. But you have to be willing to let go of some things, to let go of the past. Be willing to do the hard work and change your mindset. It isn't easy. It is not easy to change your mindset oftentimes. You have to stop thinking God is going to take and accept anything because he's a loving God. Because he doesn't. He may not strike you for it now, but when you stand before the throne, what do you want to hear? Depart from me, I know you not. Or do you want to hear, well done, my good and faithful. I'm working for well done. I'm working for well done. I may stumble sometimes, but I'm working for well done. I asked you earlier, what does God thirst for? He thirsts for your worship. You don't hear Jesus say, I thirst again in those years of his ministry, those 3 years of his ministry again, until he's hanging on that old rugged cross. And one of his final words is, I thirst. He thirsts for you and he thirsts for me. He thirsts for all who want to worship him in pure, in spirit and in truth. John 12:32 said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto me. He didn't say some people. He said all people. He didn't say Jewish people. He said all people unto me. He thirsts for your soul. He thirsts for your worship. He thirsts for you. If you look at this verse, the word people is italicized. Pastor always told us that means it's something special in the Bible. This nameless woman at the well went on to be the first evangelist in Jesus Christ's ministry. And because of her, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about her. And because of her, she ran back to her village. What's significant is she dropped her pots and left them there. She left the old things behind. She ran to the village, come see a man. The village ran out to come see a man. Through her, numerous souls were saved. When people tell you women aren't supposed... She was the first evangelist. She was the first to herald. She was the first that he told, I am the Messiah. He never spoke those words to his disciples, but he spoke them to her. They followed him because of the miracles he'd done. They followed him because they thought he was here to free them from the Roman Empire and to start a war. That's why they followed him, many of them followed him. But he told her, I'm the Messiah. I am. It's me. Who you've been waiting for is here. I'm standing before you. I'm ready to give you living water. Water that you can feed off of, live off of, drink off of for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter when that light bill is, you don't know how you're going to pay it. Go to the living water. Amen. He chose this battered woman to be the first to know he was the Messiah. Before that, he declared himself as the Son of Man or the Son of God. But at this well, he exposed himself as the Messiah and the giver of living water. At that well, she found healing from her past. At that well, she found a new way of life. At that well, she found peace. At that well, she found joy. At that well, she found true worship. Worship for a loving God, a loving Savior that didn't care about her circumstance. I invite you to that well this morning if you don't know it. A well that springs eternal. A well that will never go dry. A light that will never go dim. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. 2,000 years later, those words are still ringing. He's come down from that cross. He is a well of living water. He flows eternally. Amen. Amen. The altar is open this morning. If anyone needs prayer, I invite our ministers, our deacons to come to the altar. If anyone needs prayer this morning, we offer that to you this morning. If you want to get to know our Savior, if you want to know a risen Savior, we invite you to this altar this morning. If you're online, we ask you to simply repeat after me these words. Father, I have sinned. I repent of my sins, and I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried and resurrected. I believe in him. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. We believe if you prayed that simple prayer this morning, you are saved. God has redeemed you. You are called his own this morning. Amen. And we'd like to know about that this morning. You can go on our website, www.taylortabernacle.com this morning and let us know. Someone from this ministry will contact you as soon as possible to help you on your journey. But our altar is open for those in the house of the Lord this morning. If you need prayer, if you're struggling this morning, if you just need a touch from the Lord this morning, our altar is open for you this morning. Amen. Come on, meet Jesus at the well. Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a good word. I wrote that down. You can't worship God when you are carrying baggage. And it reminded me of this old song, not an old song, I'm going to say old song, but a song by Erykah Badu. She said, Bag Lady. Y'all, it reminded me of that song. But so we're going to transition into our announcements and our offering. So our offering is going to be taken by our sister Alex. And then our announcements would be Sister Deanna, is she here? Okay, our sister Deanna will come right after her.
Offering time. All right now. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 19139. Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. Cash App, Taylor Tabernacle. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offerings and the other for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, hashtag Pastor Jonathan Ford, or Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
All right. Now. We have announcements by Sister Deanna.
Good morning, church. All right, so the pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us and worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us in person for worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. For this Lent season, we will be giving up bread, meat, and desserts from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, except on Sundays. Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. And then Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child every second, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Don't forget Pastor Ford's YLE challenge. And then also the Girl Scout cookie season. Please support our girls, Kennedy, Zoe, and Zaya. On March 10th, we will have a guest preacher, Pastor Marcia Powell, and Marta Powell, and then March 16th, we have a women's conference with Open Door Baptist Church at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Transforming Women's Lives Through Christ. Address is 1632 North 26th Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19121. And then on March 30th, we have women's wellness event at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here at Taylor Tabernacle. All announcements are available on the church calendar online. And now we will have our benediction.
Jiggy Jackson, do you know this one? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. Freed me forever. One day he's coming back, one glorious day. Come on. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, he freed me forever. One day he's coming back, one glorious day. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, freed me forever. One day he's coming back, one glorious day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time together. We bless your holy name, Father. We ask for traveling mercy, Lord, as we leave this place. But help us not to depart from your presence until we meet again, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.